I want to start with a proposition. I think one of the most difficult things in life, one of the hardest things to do in life, I don't know if you agree with me, maybe it's not a problem for you, but one of the most difficult things in life is to be selfless. Would you agree with that? I think to be a selfless person. Sometimes you find people who you would describe as selfless. There are some people, sometimes in organisations around town, you'll find them in volunteer organisations. You might find one person in particular who seems to be extremely selfless and committed to the cause that they're serving. We've got one in the RFS, in the Narrabri Fire Brigade, Bushfire Brigade, and I can't imagine the brigade running without him for very long. He puts in 20 times more hours than the captain does. Who knows how much of his own time he devotes to making sure all the equipment's ready, the trucks are ready to roll, all the paperwork's done, the social events are catered for. He's just a selfless person in that respect. But he'll never tell you about all the hours he puts in and all the stuff he does because he doesn't want the public recognition that goes with it. He just wants the brigade to function properly. He wants the trucks to be ready when we're on a call out. He's completely committed to the cause of fighting fires. When it comes to your commitment to God, would you say that you are selfless? When it comes to your commitment to God, your relationship with God, your devotion to God, would you say that you do it in a selfless way? See, last week we saw when Lindsay preached that Jesus had a very strong message for the disciples. He told them that they needed to be righteous. In fact, they needed a righteousness that far out exceeded the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, their righteousness was based on following the letter of the law. They loved rules, and they looked for loopholes in the rules, and they got it down to a fine art so that they could say, yes, we are righteous people because we've obeyed the letter of the law. But Jesus said to them, you've missed the point. You've missed the spirit of the law. That's what you need to be righteous. And this week, he's got another question, got another challenge for them. He's challenging them about their motivation. What's your motivation when you act in a righteous way? Have a look at verse 1, because Jesus gives us there the overall message for this section in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, this is a pretty bit of a summary of what's going to come in the rest of the passage. He says, don't do these acts of righteousness to be seen by other people. Because if you do, then your motivation's all wrong. You want the reputation for being righteous. That's why you're doing it. And if you do that, you will have received your reward because you get the attention that you want. You get the reputation that you want. But don't expect any reward from God because you've done it for the wrong reasons. And back in those days, people measured themselves by their religious practices. And in particular, we've got three that Jesus points out here, giving to the poor, prayer and fasting. And we're going to have a look at those three examples. The first example is giving to the needy. And Jesus is saying, what's your motivation when you're giving to the poor? Have a look at verse 2. He says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by men. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. It's interesting that he calls them hypocrites, isn't it? Here are people who are giving money to the poor. Why does the word hypocrite come into that? We see, this is supposed to be a selfless act. Isn't giving to the needy supposed to be a selfless thing? But why are they doing it? They are doing it to promote themselves. It's not a selfless act at all for those people. They've changed it into a self-promoting act. And Jesus says, if you do it that way, you've received your reward in full. If that's what you're chasing, then that's all you'll get. There's no reward from God. Now, this has crept into our culture, I think, this thing about wanting people to know how generous we are. If you watch the footy show, probably not many of you do, but if you watch the footy show, They're always on about how much money they give to the children's hospital in Sydney, and they give to charities, and they have different charities each week that they give to, and they tell us how much money they've given to those charities. And it's all about being seen to be generous. The Woolworths manager, local Woolworths manager, provided me with a great illustration of this on Australia Day. If you're at the breakfast, you would have heard the Woolworths manager stand up and say, well, we at Woolworths, Woolworths Corporation has given $126 million to charities this year, and we've given $8 million towards the Queensland flood relief. See, in our society, more and more people are wanting to be seen to be generous, to be known to be generous, to receive praise from each other about how generous they are. I've got to say, I'm not a big Oprah Winfrey fan. You might find that comforting. I'm not a big Oprah Winfrey fan. Maybe you are. But I just get this feeling when, I've watched it a couple of times, when she showers her gifts on the audience, I can't help but think that it's really all about her, isn't it? Increasing her own reputation. Well, if it is, then she's already got her reward. The Woolworths manager, he's already got his reward. Because Jesus says, if you want to be seen by men, then you've already got your reward. Don't expect a reward from God for that. You've already got it. See, the attitude we need is selflessness, not self-promotion. Giving is a selfless act, not to be used for self-promotion. In fact, Jesus said it's got to be so secret that even it's like your right hand doesn't know what your left hand, or left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. That's how secret it's got to be. And he says God will reward what is done in secret. Same when it comes to praying. Look there in verse 5. See, the problem in verse 5 is not that people love to pray. That's not a problem, that people love to pray. Or even that people pray in public areas. Because everyone prayed in the synagogue. That was a good thing to do. What's the problem in verse 5? Have a look at that. And when you pray, he says, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. See, Jesus uncovers the actions and the motives of the hypocrites. They want to be seen by men. He says they've received their reward in full. A few people commented to me when Julia Gillard, when the New Zealand mine tragedy was on, and Julia Gillard got up in front of a press conference and said, want them to know that our thoughts and our prayers are with them. A few people commented, well, who's Julia actually praying to? She's a committed atheist. Who's she actually praying to? But I wondered why she was praying, why she said that. Did she want to be seen by men? Did she want to have that reputation enhanced? If she did, then she's got her reward. But don't expect God to look favourably on that sort of behaviour. He also, Jesus goes on to tell us about the pagans and the way they pray. Have a look here in verse 7. He says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they will be heard because of their many words. You see, sometimes people say long-winded prayers and they get up and they speak in a grandiose voice. Why do they do that? What's their motivation for that? I was army chaplains have the great benefit of being asked to say grace at just about every meal that they go to. Every mess function that you go to, the army chaplain has to say grace. And I was working with an army chaplain once. He was one of my trainers. And he showed me this grace that he'd written for the mess function that night. And it was about it was a poem with about 10 verses in it. It went for at least 2 minutes, this grace. And it was very flowery and fancy and funny. And he said, this is the sort of thing that we need to do. You should think about doing this sort of thing, Tim, when you say grace. I thought, oh, what's the purpose? Is the purpose to entertain? To impress people? What's your motivation? God says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What's that mean? What sort of prayer is he talking about here? Well, Jesus gives us a great example, verses 9 to 13. Words that you're very familiar with. Look through them as I speak about it. The Lord's Prayer, we call it. And it's a prayer that is selfless. It's all about God and His kingdom and His will being done and being humble before God, humble enough to ask for forgiveness, humble even enough to forgive those who've hurt us. You've got to be really humble to do that. And you notice it's short and sweet. He's not babbling on like the New Zealand, like the pagans. Sorry. It's a short, sweet prayer. The prayer of a righteous man, God says, is powerful and effective. To make sure you're praying with the right motivation, make sure you spend time with Jesus alone. Because if you're not doing that, then public prayers are just a show, aren't they? If you're not actually praying with Jesus alone when no one is watching. Because he says God sees and rewards what is done in secret. Now, this is not saying that there's something wrong with public prayer meetings, okay? We've got our prayer focus night coming up on Wednesday week, and I'd love you all to join in with praying for us for the mission of the church. It's a public prayer meeting. We will ask people to pray out loud. It's not saying that there's anything wrong with public prayer meetings, but it's asking the question, what's your motivation when you pray in public? If it's to be seen by men, then you'll get your reward, but it won't be from God. Are you focused on self-promotion or are you focused on God? The third example was fasting, something that we don't actually know a lot about, we don't practice a lot. The aim of fasting was to deny yourself in order to focus on God, to deepen your relationship with Him. And Jesus uncovers the actions and the motives. Look in verse 16. What does He say? When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. See, it's all about self-interest, isn't it? To earn men's praise. Look at me. Look how much I'm suffering to be devoted to God. Look how religious I am. And if you want to earn men's praise, you will get it, but that's all you'll get. Don't expect God to reward you for that. The last diocese I worked in, on the big occasions, in that diocese, all the ministers would dress up in fancy robes, and some of them had really extravagant robes that they wore. And they would have a big procession down the aisle of the church during the first hymn. And it was like a king and his lords entering into a palace. I was in a couple of these, but I watched more than I joined in. Because for me, it was all a question of motivation. What's your motivation for doing that? What's going on in their heads as they process grandly down the aisle? What's the motivation for having a grand procession of ministers and bishops? See, in verse 18, it tells us God rewards what is done in secret. The end of verse 18 there. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What happens between you and God? What's it like for you when you're alone with God? That's more important than what it's like for you when you're in public. What's it like when you're alone with God? So Jesus gives us a big contrast here between being a religious show-off and seeking God in a private act of true worship. God-centered, God-focused worship. That's a big contrast, isn't it? Someone who will live a righteous life, not a self-righteous life. Someone who will give selflessly, who will pray selflessly, who will fast selflessly. And it's a huge temptation for us to be religious show-offs. Now, you think it's bad for you. It's worse for me. It's worse for ministers, leaders of the church, people who stand up in front. It's a particular danger that we get up in front and we show off how devout we are and how faithful we are and how much we know about God and how good our relationship with God is by leading and by praying and by preaching. And you've got to pray for me, because this is a struggle for me, that I often get caught thinking about, I wonder what people think of me. I wonder if people are listening to God's word. It's a big temptation for us, but not just for me, for you guys too. As you come to church, why do you come to church? Is it to be seen by men? Why do you sing up loud? Is it to be seen by men? Why do you serve God? Is it to be seen by men? There is nothing wrong with coming to church. There is definitely nothing wrong with singing loud. There is nothing wrong with serving God. But Jesus says, watch your motivation. Watch it. Because if you want to be seen by men, then you will get that reward. And that's it. That's all you'll get. The next section of the passage asks us a few very important questions that go on from this. It says, "What do you the first one, what do you treasure?" And there's a big contrast between treasure on earth and treasure in heaven. Look at verse 19. He says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What do you treasure? Where is your heart? Is it here? Like the hypocrites, their heart is here because they want to be seen. They want the instant reward of having a great reputation amongst men. Is that where your heart is? Jesus is saying. Is it here in the here and now with the material possessions that you can accumulate for yourself? Or do you seek heavenly treasure? Are you seeking the reward that God has waiting for us in the new world, when life after death, when his kingdom is fulfilled? Are you seeking God's kingdom? Second question is, how's your eyesight? Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I think he's asking here, how's your eye? Do you see things the way that God sees them? Do you see things the way that God sees them? Are you focused on godly righteousness, his priorities, his rewards, or on your own self-centeredness? How's your eyesight? What are you focused on? And the third question, what do you serve? Where's your loyalty lie? Very simple question. One of the clearest verses in the Bible, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Who do you serve? What do you serve? Jesus constantly warned people in that day about money. Now, they had about a 20th, if that, of the money and the riches that we have. And he warned them about being attracted to money. How much more important is that warning for us today? What do you treasure? What do you serve? It's not a sin to have money. I read in a commentary during the week, it's not a sin to have money, but it is a sin to serve money. What do you serve? Are you seeking the richness of God, or are you seeking your own wealth? And in the next section, he goes on to talk about what do you seek. He says, don't seek after clothes and food. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? We often seek after those things. He says, don't do that. That's what the pagans do. They run after all those things. They focus on them. Life is the pursuit of wealth and material possessions. But in verse 33, he says, no, this is for you. This is the key verse. If you haven't looked at anything so far, look at this one, verse 33. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. The question is, are you devoutly seeking God? Devoutly seeking God. There was a movie back in the 90s called Desperately Seeking Susan. I don't know what it was about. I'm assuming it was... The title just had chick flick written all over it, so I didn't watch it. But I suppose it was about a bloke who was desperately seeking a lady called Susan. Well, that's not the question for us, is it? The question for us is, are you devoutly seeking God? Are you devoutly seeking God? Are you desiring his kingdom above your reputation, above your own life? Are you seeking God's kingdom? Or have you just been a religious show-off? Are you turning up to church, singing loud to impress others, hoping that the person next to you will see how much money you put in the plate? Or are you devoutly seeking God and His righteousness? Do you prefer to be self-righteous? See, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to be self-righteous. And the rewards are immediate. They're right there at your fingertips. But don't expect any rewards from God. How are we going to do this? That's the big question. How do you seek God's kingdom above all else, above your own self? There's lots and lots. We could spend another 24 hours talking about that. But let me give you a couple coming up in the near future. In particular, our mission. Next three or four months of this year, we're going to be conducting a mission where the idea is we're reaching out to our friends and our family and our local. Now, we do this all the time. I know you say, oh, yeah, we did that last year. We did it the year before. We did it the year before that. We did it when Mark was here. We did it when Paul was here. Just the same thing goes on and on. But no, this is a chance. Are you seeking God's kingdom? Are you seeking God's kingdom? I'm going to challenge you today in a little while to, first of all, pray. Commit yourself to praying regularly as you can, for your friends and your family to come to know the Lord Jesus. Are you seeking God's kingdom? Will you do that much? Just pray? Will you take risks in this mission to invite people to things? You know, when you invite people, sometimes you get a bit of a negative reaction, or they might, make a joke about it or something. I had a bloke a while ago and I invited him to church and he goes, oh, you're just trying to convert me. And I said, you betcha. Of course I'm trying to convert you. And he went, oh, okay. But sometimes you feel a bit stupid when you invite people. It's a risk. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take that risk to put God's kingdom ahead of your own reputation, seeking His kingdom and His righteousness, asking God to make His kingdom grow? Well, that's one big way in the near future you can put God's kingdom first. But generally, just serving your church family. You know, being willing to put up your hand to be involved in things here at church, to go on the roster for things. This is where it gets a bit tricky, because it's hard to do things completely secretly, isn't it? Now, Jesus says, if you do it in secret, God will reward you. But how do you go on the roster for leading the prayers at church and do it in secret? So, it's a bit tricky, that one. And you might say, well, I'm never going to pray out loud again in any prayer meetings or in church. It's a great excuse not to come to prayer meetings, a great excuse to take yourself off all the rosters. And I want to say, God does see your motivations when you serve Him. God looks at your heart. He knows your motivations. But I want to also say this. God sees your motivations when you refuse to serve Him. God sees your motivations when you serve Him, and He also sees your motivations when you refuse to serve Him. Are you willing to serve God by serving your church family, by serving each other, caring, by looking after each other, by loving each other? Because Jesus says, beware of being a hypocrite. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Let's pray. Father God, very challenging words we've read today from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we can only look at our lives and see how many times we have been religious show-offs. We have failed to serve You, but we've been serving ourselves through doing righteous acts in front of men. Father God, I pray that You would help us to fix our motivations, to realize that You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. Father, please help us to serve You and serve each other with the right motivation, so that we can seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.